This week while I was shopping with my oldest daughter, Selena, we ran into a Netflix star who was in town. And because we had watched the series that he was in, it was kind of cool to be able to see him live just a few feet away from us. I don't know what it is, but there's something about celebrities and meeting them that is quite fascinating for all of us. Maybe there's a part in all of our lives at some point in time, we just want to meet that significant person who we have seen or followed. It was just a few years ago that even as a church, we were invited to consider using our building in the series Fargo. And I remember when the producer of the show left the card here and we of course said yes. I was thinking, what would it be like if I could be included in the scene? What would it be like for us to transform our building into something else? Because we love it when we get to do that. And of course, they didn't need us at that point in time. But why does it matter? Why do we get so excited about these opportunities of meeting greatness or meeting these incredible gifted leaders, athletes, actors? It all starts with what I would call an encounter. There's an encounter moment, and we see in the text that we're using today in Luke 5, there's this story where Jesus connects to Peter. We have two fishermen, and there's a challenge because Jesus is teaching, and the crowd is gathering, and they're without a space. They don't have a building like this. They don't have a stage. And so what happens? He grabs boats. He takes the two fishermen's boats, and away he goes into the water so that the crowd can be a part of his message. You know, what we learn about Jesus in this story early on is that the value of teaching the mass, teaching the large group, is huge. But it's interesting that even in the teaching to a large group, there are moments where the singleness of ourselves and our lives connect into what God is saying. So often we can all hear, but it feels like at times a message, a moment, a scripture is directly related to us. After the message was complete, and of course Jesus did a great job being an incredible communicator, and of course it was recorded for YouTube, so it was exactly 20 minutes long in length, everything was ready to go, and a moment where he does something kind of out of the ordinary. He now takes the boats and he uses them for something very different. He borrows the boats and starts to go into a moment where he's going to teach the fishermen how to fish. He used a boat for teaching, and now suddenly he's going to move into their own place of business and talk about fishing. He helps them understand that if they would go a bit deeper with the nets, and if they would push farther, that there'd be something here that they could receive. Interesting that he ties into their life. I don't know about you, but it's interesting that at different seasons, I call them experts. You must have had this before. You're doing something you enjoy with a friend, and often it happens on a golf course that suddenly your buddy hits the drive of a lifetime. And for whatever reason, because he did it finally right, he's now going to be the teacher. He's now the expert, and your next drive, he's going to help you understand how you can be like him and do that great shot. But here's Jesus jumping into this storyline of fishermen. He's getting their attention. He's connecting into their world. Jesus steps into the fishing world, but he makes a connection because this is their life. This is their livelihood. This is what they do. As recorded in the text, that not only do they catch fish, but they catch so many fish that both boats are filled to the place of sinking. Jesus is in the game of getting our attention, but he always has a strategy around conversations. He always has a plan that with the encounter, the first moment, that there's another conversation that's going to take place that's going to change our lives. I like to think that we're all in this moment of translation, a moment where we are moving from one story to another, where we are learning even in our relationships how to translate from the moment when we work with our children when they're younger, and as they grow and they mature and questions change and moments change, we are always translating. But what we learn here is an incredible lesson about translating for moments. It starts with understanding someone else's world. When we think about our kids, the world they're in right now, when we think about our friends, our families, it's important for us to understand or comprehend or connect to what it is that they are going through now, being present in their moment. But we also know that in the moment of translation, in every story, it's about moving to that next part. We connect here, but we move it forward. And that was the lesson that we see early in this story. We translate no fish to lots of fish, from lots of fish to a bigger catch that they had never dreamed of as fishermen, fishing and becoming fishers of men. Jesus, his pattern is always to start where you are today and then to move forward in full intention that there's going to be another conversation. Too often the church has had great intentions, but we've had some difficult starting points. We've selected where we feel people should be, and then we want to start the conversation versus what Jesus taught us in this text, that we're going to start where you are at, where you start. Moms, dads, friends, relationships, we have to be in the place of starting where people are, what they are involved in at this moment of time. And we're okay with that. But it's always about the next conversation. What happens when we encounter famous people? What does that look like for us? What happens when suddenly we actually meet someone who's quite famous? It was in my late teens when I started to have a little bit of passion around the sport of boxing. It led me to follow boxers like Sugar Ray Leonard, and of course the early season of Mike Tyson's career with these explosive first round knockouts, 91 seconds, 37 seconds, something that the boxing world had never seen. But it wasn't until I was 20 years old that I was in Gary, Indiana, with my nephew, and it was there when we were picking up a friend that I looked across, and there was Muhammad Ali. And I was overwhelmed, but such a large statue man, so famous, the world's greatest boxer. And I walked over, introduced myself. He was there with his daughter, his speech struggling at that time in his life. And here I was in the middle of meeting somebody in the area that I had great understanding and passion around, and here he is, greatness. But I also realized in that moment that it was just him and his daughter and a whole lot of luggage. And after a little conversation, as much as we could have, and an autograph that he was so gracious to give in that moment, I said, "Can I help you carry the luggage? It looks like you got a lot of stuff." And the daughter was thrilled, and we moved all the luggage out to the van, and away they went. And I never forgot that moment because it was more than I had imagined. I didn't even see it coming in any way, but suddenly it drove me to want to participate, to help. It wasn't just about a moment together. Man, I wished I would have had an iPhone. That would have been a great photo, but we didn't have that luxury back then. You see, when we meet someone famous, when we have what we would call an encounter, we never forget it. Sometimes these encounters can be challenging. They can be a bad encounter with someone. They can be a positive encounter. But when we have an encounter with someone, suddenly it changes. Jesus was all about encounters. He was all about encounters with people because his message mattered. The individual message that he was going to carry and that he gave, that suddenly after the encounter, you would carry it. Others took it with them. We see phrases in the scripture, "Come hear this man. Never a man spake like this." For years in my own life, I would say, hey, I haven't met too many famous people, but I met Muhammad Ali. You see, these moments do change us. But Jesus was all about the encounter. But the encounter was all about his next move. In this story, we are viewing the setup to the very first disciple, Peter. We are seeing where a man by the name of Simon, that would become Peter, is going to move from a fisherman to a person who would lead people. The history is interesting because I want to ease some of you, because if you quickly read the story, you can become fearful that Jesus is going to slip by the office once we're through this pandemic, and suddenly you're going to be called to a far part of the world that you never imagined being a part of because of this encounter with Jesus. But when we look at the history here, we see that this is probably not the first encounter. When we look back at our life, we may see one encounter, but when we have a chance to open up the lens a little bit further, we can start to understand there was an encounter here, there was a moment here, there was a person here, and suddenly these moments of encounter draws us into a place that we call discipleship. We can see here in this storyline that Jesus was doing things to get Peter's attention. There was a purpose. There was a next layer, a new level of conversation that was going to take place. And as Jesus steps into the world of business and shows Peter that he can even grow his own world, his own development of his own skills and his own area of workplace. But there's something more. There's something more than just fishing. As the church, we've been able to navigate this storyline that we will never forget called COVID-19. But I want to say that in the last number of years, because of great leaders in finance, great leaders on a board, great leaders on a team with technology, we've been able to move into this with energy. We've been able to move in and through this moment in an incredible way with great work, because everyday people with everyday talents have set us up for something that we didn't imagine. And we're moving through it because of great people. Jesus needs your talent, but he will use your own gifts and your own talent beyond your own imagination. But when we exercise our gifts and we take what we have and we use it, suddenly we realize, I never dreamed I could be doing this. What we see here in this story is he meets you exactly where you're at. It's an encounter. He steps into your world without invitation. He doesn't ask. He just grabs a boat. And then he fills the boat. But it's this experience of interruption that he says, if you let me in, I'm going to move you into something far beyond the economy, something far beyond the limitations of retirement, because I have something more for you to do that never ends. Netflix heroes, famous actors, they inspire us, but they only can take us so far. An encounter with Jesus, it opens up bigger conversations that we never dreamed that we would have. It opens up bigger opportunities that we never thought we would be a part of. And it takes us to this place called purpose, that somehow we see that our wiring, our development, good part of our stories and difficult parts of our stories can be used in a unique way. But I believe these moments have to work together, that it's not just an intellect moment, but it's a heart moment. I believe that what God shows us in this story is that there's a moment where we have this encounter that drives us into a place of discipleship. The challenge is that we're never supposed to stay in just a place of encounter or just stay in a place of head knowledge, but they work hand in hand. We have this moment of an encounter that drives us to follow. And then we have another encountering moment that drives us to follow deeper. And then we have another encountering moment that drives us to follow deeper. And this is the process of discipleship. In fact, we know in this story that after a period of following, Jesus turns to Peter and says, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to build this on you. Such a place of trust. And for all of us, Peter should always be one of our favorite Bible characters because we see moments of failure and moments of brokenness and moments of success and then moments of challenge. And somehow it's the discipleship journey. It's the apprentice moments where we get it right, we get it wrong, and we keep on moving to get it right again. What does an encounter look like? Sometimes an encounter is when the text comes alive. You've read it before and suddenly you're stuck in a part of the Bible that's so alive to you. It just feels like it was written today for you. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes there's a worship song that comes to us at such a significant time and you feel like they wrote it just for you. Sometimes it's a connection. There's a friendship. There's a moment of meeting someone that makes no sense. Sometimes it's an opportunity that we never deserved. Sometimes it's wisdom. We come to a place when we're just out in an area. We are stretched beyond our own mental capacity and wisdom, a thought comes and we get an answer that we didn't think was there. Sometimes it's our own creativity and God using our gifts. Sometimes it's just being there for someone in a very small way that has significant contribution to them. Sometimes it's a sense that you're just not alone, that you're not in this by yourself, that someone is with you. But know that whatever flavor of the encounter, it's not just about the fish or the boats, that there's something that God is doing through Christ that moves us forward into this deeper story. COVID has forced the world to slow down. It has caused the world to listen. Jesus is not only with you at this time, but I want you to know that he has something planned that is greater. You may not see it right now, but when we look at the storyline as we unpack even further in our Jesus series, you can see yourself at any moment in every one of these stories. Can you look in your own life and see how somehow God was shaping a moment for you to move into where you are today? Sometimes they were ugly moments, they were difficult moments, there was stretches all around it, but it moved you into a place of encountering. And then I want you to take that moment of encounter and then move it forward into this. When Jesus said to you, come, follow me. Come listen online. Come attend. Come be a part of a social gather. But somewhere in this moment, the encounter that moves to a deeper conversation of followership. When you see famous people and how well they've developed, how well they've taken their craft, how many thousands of hockey pucks, how many punches to a punching bag, how many sit-ups, how many speed rope jumps that they have done, and we see how great they are at their craft. When we see an actor that captivates us and as they do what they do on screen, and we all have our favorites. But when we see great people of faith, understand that somehow they've developed the art of an encounter and a follow, an encounter and a move forward, and another encounter and another move forward. They have somehow grasped the idea that Jesus had planned for all of us, that if you come follow me, you're going to feel and see and be a part of unique opportunities, and you're going to learn, you're going to develop, and you're going to grow. So today, this week, prepare for an encounter with Jesus. Be prepared for a moment that you never dreamed would happen this week. Be prepared for a conversation that suddenly you're in because of the encounter you've had with Jesus. Be prepared for conversations that he may bring to you. We can somehow watch somebody like Jesus take our boat without permission, without contract, without payment. Take our boat. Give us a lesson in our own career. And then say, I'd like you, with all of your gifts, to come follow me. Because I have something planned for you bigger than you've ever seen.